Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
For those that are listening by internet, or would like to tune in by internet, you can dial up or type in new Block Talk Radio. And once you get into the Block Talk Radio, you would type in begin again, and that would put you so you're able to hear the broadcast. And for those that would like to tune in or tuning in, if you have dialed in 347-234-0054, and if you would like to participate, just hit a 1, and your number would come up, and you would be a participant at this time. Again, Merry Christmas to everyone. We do thank you for tuning in. And we're going to be blessed by our minister and our brother, James Gary, who is from out of New Jersey, the Christ of Church, Mount Clair in New Jersey. And he's going to be sharing with us a word from the root to the fruit. For those of you that tuned in last week, we were not able to complete that piece. So we're going to finish up on from the root to the fruit, and Brother Gary had so much to share from that word, and we hope that you're blessed by it. Brother Gary, or you know, James, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to everyone. Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me. Yes.
At this time, we're going to open up the airways for you to begin. Before we do that, we're going to have prayer, and then you're going to be on your own, and we're going to, for those that are listening, we do have a question and answer type piece, so we'll be giving you an opportunity to, if there's something that you would like to know more about that Brother Gary is sharing, you can ask that question, and he would enlighten you on the word. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to share a word of God. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would illuminate the word, Heavenly Father, unveil it, Heavenly Father, reveal it to our minds, Heavenly Father. We pray that all the hearers, Heavenly Father, that are sharing at this time would be blessed by the word and would gain understanding. Lord, Father, we ask that you would bless Brother Gary, Heavenly Father, as he illuminates the word, Heavenly Father. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, for peace. We ask, Heavenly Father, for the bond of unity in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Gary, it's on you. We're going to hand it all over to you, and you can go ahead and, you know, just illuminate us, you know, with the root to the fruit.
Yes, amen, amen. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the call tonight. And for those that were with me last week and that covered they know that we covered quite a bit of ground concerning tracing from fruit to root. And we'd like to just continue on that same note. And just for those that did not join us, I'll do a quick recap of what was covered. We start off with Hebrews 12:14-15, and reading from the NAS version of the Bible, and it reads, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up, causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." So this is the word of God for the people of God, and it's the basis for the teaching tonight. So in this lesson, we look in depth at the power of what we call bitter root judgments, which have a life of their own. They're the most potent force behind recurring patterns of trouble or destruction that occur in our lives. And the power of bitter roots comes from the unchangeable laws of God, which cause us to reap in kind roots from things which are sown in our lives. In many cases, these roots are sown by judgment in what we call inner vows. And it's important to understand that that aside from bitter roots, judgments, bitter root expectancies. And bitter root expectancies are not as powerful as bitter root judgments. because what they do is they operate in what we call the psychological realm. They operate in the mind of a person through patterns of thought and things of that nature, whereas our bitter roots actually work off of the laws of God, so they must happen, if you will. The important thing to note about judgments and expectancies, they rob the person of the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So it's very important to break free of these judgments and the structures that we build in our lives, which cause things to happen repeatedly and routinely and yield bad fruit in our lives. So we covered many of these items, first being the roots as nourishment for good and bad fruit, secondly, what bitter roots are, and I'll touch on a bit of these, again on these in just a moment, and also what bitter roots are not. And then we started talking about some examples of bitter roots and the fruits that come from them. So we'll touch a little bit on those as well. And then we talked about how they infect the mind with expectancies. So what happens is you start to make these judgments, and as these judgments start to play out in the person's life, then you tend to expect them to continue to happen, and that's what we call bondage. So we are here tonight to be set free from the bondage of these judgments and these expectancies, so that we can really truly share in what Jesus said to us, which is that he came to set us free, and we know that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So we just thank God for his word, which is everlasting. So in terms of bitter roots and what they are, or roots in general, what they are, roots are not necessarily a bad thing. During this teaching, I'd like you to picture a plant, or even better yet, a tree. And as we know, a tree has roots that go well beneath the soil, and roots provide nourishment to the tree to continue to grow. And our lives pretty much operate the same way. We pretty much have roots which are beneath our soil of life, or pretty much are in our psychological realm and just in our hearts, which operate, and we don't even realize that they're operating. But the point of the root is that it is to provide nourishment. And God operates through this system, and he gives us the example of the vine, where we, as long as we abide in the vine, we receive nourishment, and the vine is Christ Jesus. So roots are not necessarily a bad thing, but the way that we determine what type of roots are present in our lives and in a person's life is by looking at the fruits. And the fruits are those manifestations that you can see. Things like bank robbery, a person committing routine bank robberies. Sometimes you'll see patterns of thought that play out in terms of what people say. A perfect example is when someone says all men are bad, or all women are bad, or things of that nature. Those things pretty much give us the proof that there is a bitter judgment that exists there. And the bitter judgments that exist, or the bitter roots, are what we want to correct. We want to pretty much get down beneath the soil and pull up, much like you pull out a weed, we want to pull out these really, really bad roots, which cause us to not be able to receive the nourishment from God and the blessings of producing good fruit. And we see this in the Word in Matthew 7:17 through 19, in those verses where it says, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So as we see, if we don't address these issues of bad fruit that keep generating our lives, God will address them for us. And it's important for us to be set free. So it's important to understand what bitter roots are. And what bitter roots are they're basically the results of our sinful reactions to hurt or pain, things of that nature. And they pretty much exist in what we call critical or condemning judgments of people. And they cause us to have a situation where we have a complete refusal or inability to forgive someone. So unforgiveness is a fruit, which you pretty much a continual pattern of unforgiveness is a fruit, and we know that underneath that fruit is a bitter judgment that was made against a person because of a harm or hurt that happened. And it's important to note that roots have the power to defile us, including those that are around us, and they cause us to drink the poison instead of the nourishment from this life. So it's important to break free from this. And we see another example of what God says about this in Hebrews 12:15, where he says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." In our last session, we actually defined defilement. So I'll just touch on that for just a moment. And defilement, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is defined as to make something unclean or impure, as to corrupt the purity or perfection of, or to violate the chastity of. So these bitter roots, and we gave the example of if someone walked into a room and sometimes you get that feeling, like just a overwhelming feeling like of energy being drained out of you. And sometimes I know everyone's had a similar example of that happening in their lives. You could be at motor vehicle, not to say anything against motor vehicle, but places that where you have a lot of people, even a classroom, places where you have a lot of people and a person can come into a room without even saying a word, and there's a certain burden that people feel, and that is what we call defilement. And this is contagious. It violates even the free will that people have in their lives. God gave us a gift of free will, meaning that we can choose right and wrong. We can choose the activities that we do. But because these judgments work and operate on the laws of God, they can override that gift and actually cause us to behave in ways that we never intended to behave. I'm not sure if anyone has ever experienced a situation where they've done something to someone and in hindsight, you look at yourself and you're like, why? How did I do that? That's not me. And it could be very well the possibility that you experience defilement from someone else's sin in that case. So what bitter roots are not is very important to understand. And it's important to understand the definition that I just described, but it's also important to understand what they're not. And bitter roots are not the hurtful or terrible things that happen to us, nor the sins of those who have wronged us. They are our sins or our sinful reactions to what a person did to us. Okay, so it involves something that you do. It's a reaction. And they're powerful enough, again, to overcome the free will of another person, and they easily defile us. Okay, in terms of source, where do these things come from? Where are these things established? And the important thing is, just like a plant, the root system is developed very, very early in life. We as humans pretty much get our nourishment from our parents as children, and from that point,
anyone that's around us actually helps to develop those roots that we have in us. Unfortunately, many of our parents don't know of this teaching or have not actually had the exposure to the word in this case, which is the power of the word, and with full understanding and how and actually know how to implement this in their lives. So, but that's why Jesus came. That's why he came, to set us free, because it's not common knowledge. So one word that we'll speak to is in Matthew 7:1-2, where we're advised to of this: do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be. For in the same way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured unto you. So here in Matthew, it's important to understand that when we make judgments against people, and we do it quite regularly, I mean, almost every day, it's very difficult not to walk around and make a judgment. Someone can offend you, you make a judgment. And again, this, if you don't crucify these things at the cross, they develop a root in within you, and they tend to grow and then cause you to actually reap what you sow. And in that case, that judgment, the same thing that you use to judge someone, actually ends up happening in your own life. So this is why it's very important to be careful about what we say. And what does God say about this? And he says it in Galatians 6:7-8, where he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. So there is a blessing in this, and that is if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap eternal life. And this is the abundance that we want, and the abundance that God promises to us. The important thing to note here is that as a child, as we're developing and, say, our parents make us upset about something and we make a judgment as a child, we soon forget the judgment. As soon as we get what we want, we tend to forget about the judgment that we made. And that judgment lies dormant until the right conditions arise. And most often those conditions arise in our relationships, and that's relationships to our children, relationships to each other, but most important, because it's sin, it impacts our relationship with God. I actually covered this in our last teaching, but I'll reiterate, and that is the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus taught us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, he taught us this prayer, but it's very important to understand what this prayer means to us. So I'll say it. It starts, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a very important passage in that each time that we recite this, even if we only recited it once, we've pretty much made a pact with God where we ask him to forgive us as we forgive others. The problem with forgiveness or unforgiveness is that if we don't practice this regularly, it causes these roots to develop in our hearts. And immediately it completely blocks us from receiving the nourishment from God because of prayers such as this, which will block us. So it's very important to know that we have to abide in Christ. We have to abide in him, meaning that we have to live in him in each decision that we make and the words that we say. And I'll teach about this a little bit more later, and I'll teach you how to abide in Christ so that we can break free of these judgments. So as the judgments are reaped, we are condemned to repeat the very behavior which we judge our parent or another person for, or we will continue to be wounded in the same way by others throughout our lives. So these things happen over and over and over. And I know it seems harsh because as a child, you don't know these things, but what does God say about it? And in the perfect example, it would be a police officer. What would a police officer say if you were driving in an area and you didn't know the speed limit, yet you broke the law? He would tell you after he pulled you over and perhaps gave you a ticket, he would say, you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse for breaking the law. So in this, this saying also finds its root in the gospel. And you can find it in Romans 2, verses 1 through 2, where we're told, therefore, you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment. For in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. So he tells us right there, the judgment is something that we have to be careful of. Now, we are to discern, but there's a difference between discernment and judgment. Discernment is something that, again, wisdom comes from God. This discernment is something that we fully place or receive by placing our trust in God. And not only that, but presenting our request to God. And when we do so, God promises to bless us with the wisdom if we ask for it. So discernment is an impartation of the wisdom of God in us so that we can decide whether to partake in or practice something or not to practice it. Whereas a judgment is something that comes from a bitterness inside of us. It comes from something that is not of God because it is not something that we consulted God for. So it's a selfish act, and it violates God's law in that God says that vengeance is mine. So it seems small, it seems minor, but it has very, very devastating or very powerful connections in terms of what God's authority is in our life and what it means to us in our lives. So whenever we judge, in a sense, we take God off the throne in our lives and say, God, I want to do this. I want to carry out the vengeance through my judgment process. So in a sense, we omit God from the process. So that's why it's very important, and that's why the Word is here for us today, to receive the truth in the Word. And then once these roots, again, are in us, they then infect us with these expectancies. And we talked a little bit about the expectancies that happen in a person's life, and I gave an example, and we'll just walk through that because we ran out of time last time. But expectancies are attitudes or practice ways of thinking which expect the worst from others and ourselves. And they're what you call habits of self-fulfilling prophecy by which we tempt people to fulfill our negative picture of the way things should go. I gave the example of a person saying all men are dogs, for instance. Saying that is a bitter root expectancy. So because we're planting this seed in the air and in ourselves, we cause the people, you know, if it was a woman that said that, she'd cause the men that come into her life to carry out these doggish type patterns of activity. So it's very important to understand that these things operate in the psychological realm, and they're patterns of thought. So we can break these are easily broken. by taking them to the cross. So it's very important to understand that these can be broken, okay? And when relationships or circumstances turn out as we expect, our negative thinking is confirmed, and we may fail to realize how we may tempt others to hurt us, yet we tempt them. So we can actually, and through defilement, we actually can tempt people to hurt us. And the person does not even want to, I mean, doesn't want to hurt us. In fact, that's probably not something that is the usual way of operating in their lives. But because of our expectancies, which are working off of the judgments, we can defile that other person or groups of people. So someone can join a group and defile the entire group. A perfect example that we gave was if a pastor or a teacher was operating in sin, the people that are under them, even if they did not know about the sin, he or she can actually project those things onto his people, and those people will start to carry out those same activities against their own free will because of the power of God's law. So we cannot take these things lightly, even though they're just so common, it's so easily to do and to break God's law with. It's just something that we have to be aware of and to avoid. And based on specific judgments made most often against a father or mother, and I gave the example of all men and dogs. Another example would be if a man said, women will always be critical, or no one ever listens to me. I mean, these are common things. No one cares about me. These are bitter root expectancies. So in order to help someone that suffers with this, we have to trace that fruit, which are these patterns that continue to happen. One example would be a man continually hurting a woman. No matter what relationship, they can change people, but it continues to happen. When we see these patterns and the person truly wants to break free and they come to us for prayer, we can help them by first tracing these fruits to the root. And the root could be something that happened in their childhood where perhaps a father did not care for them in the way that they felt was good. And then, in a sense, they judge the father and continue to have these things happen. And, again, remember, expectancies are psychological. So psychiatrists do have a purpose. However, without prayer, all that a psychologist is doing is picking bad fruit off, and it will grow back, and the person will have to come back. So what we want to do is, as ministers in prayer through Christ Jesus, is lead the person to the cross so that they can repent of the sins that are and actually break this cycle once and for all, so that the fruit doesn't grow back, nor would they have to go back to see a psychologist, but they could see go in prayer and be freed of these things continuously. So just keep these things in mind. Now, where do we find judgments and expectancies operating? Sowing and reaping of bitter root judgments and expectancies most often happen in relationships to parents and also our spouses. Reason being that these are the closest people to us in our lives. So these things tend to play out in those relationships. And it's also something that comes from other primary people during our foundational years, which is pretty much before becoming a teen. And sometimes they come from even those that who are not primary, such as babysitters or school teachers, which impact us at very early or impressionable ages. And it's important to note that we are accountable for our sin, no matter what happened to us. So if somebody harmed us, if they harmed our child, if they harmed anyone in our family, or harmed us directly, we are responsible for our reaction to that. Do we go to God, or do we go to the person, or do we, in other words, do we go to self? Do we go to God, or do we go to self? And when we go to self, we're most often going to commit a sin and cause a pattern to be established in our lives or in the lives of our children. So it's very important that we take it to the cross. And it's important to note that we are guilty. Yes, we're guilty, but we're not condemned, and there's a difference. It's okay that we're guilty because guilt is our friend, because guilt will bring us to the cross and lead us to that healing and transformation which Christ wants us to receive. But guilt is not our friends unless we are abiding in Christ, because a guilt can lead to a constant thoughtful pattern of condemnation, which is a trick of the enemy, which is to lead you away from the cross as opposed to the cross. So that guilt is a good response, and it should cause you to want to repent for whatever it was that you did that's causing the heaviness that you feel. And we are to bring it to the cross of Christ Jesus in order to receive that. Now we continue on to the section that we did not quite cover, and that is the healing for bitter roots. Bitter root judgments and expectancies are some of the most common sins which separate us from God and negatively impact our daily lives. And whosoever manifests bitter fruit has bitter roots. So there are no two ways about it. You either have them or you don't. It's pretty clear in the fruit. And Christ tells us that we will know them by their fruits. And this is a perfect example of that. And I'll read from Luke 6, 43 and 44, again in the NAS version. It says, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush." So it's important to understand that, and that's from two different Gospels, one from Matthew, one from Luke, but basically saying the same thing. But here Luke goes a little further in saying that, "For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar's bush." So in other words, in terms of relationships, no one goes out looking for a good wife or a good husband, and expecting to receive a bad one. So unless a person deals with these bitterness traits, these traits of bitterness in their lives, and in fact, many people won't know that they are actually receiving a person that displays bad fruit. And it's important to know that there are no perfect men. There are no perfect women. But we are all in transition. And this life is that transition ground for us. So it's important to abide in Christ so that we can receive the abundance of his blessings on us. Now, how do we heal from bitter root judgments? Well, first is recognition. Recognition. It's important to see the sinful patterns and how they're affecting our life, or affecting the person that we're trying to help, how they're affecting their lives. Because in many cases, the enemy blinds us by putting almost like shells over our eyes, so we can't see the truth. So we walk around, and the person that's very deeply embedded in these patterns and these bitter root judgments that are happening each and every day is completely blind to what's causing these things. In fact, it's one of the reasons why a person can live in squalor and not even realize it and be happy. Almost like a pig can live in mud and dung and not even realize it and be happy. Because, again, they can't see the difference. They can't see what's around them. So it's important to see these sinful patterns and how they affect our life. So recognition is important. The second thing is repentance. We have to choose to change. Choosing to change is a very, very, in fact, this is one of the most important attributes to change, to improving our lives. Because if we choose to change, we can we do this by determining to stop the patterns and stop bringing judgment and expectations into our lives, and we bring them to death on the cross. And we do this in prayer. So as we see the patterns and we see these things playing out in our lives, we take them directly to Christ. This is why he was crucified, and why he went through such agony and such pain. And overall, why at the end he prays to the Father. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And it's true. And this would be a perfect example, because if you don't see it, you don't know it. So he knew that those that were crucifying him and us in the future tense would not be able to see these things. And even if we studied the Bible and read the Bible a thousand times, memorized it from cover to cover, if we did not receive the discernment from Christ, or from the Father through Christ, we would continue to live in these patterns. So it's very important to know that, and that's where the abiding comes in, where we actually live in Christ and allow him to live in our lives. The third way is through confession. And what confession does is it allows us to be fully known before God in our brokenness and our sin, so that he can heal us and change us. Very, very critical. We have to be truthful about what really has been playing in us, what we really have been doing. And in James 5, 16, and also 1 John 1 through 9, but I'll read from James 5, 16, what the Lord tells us is, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." So through prayer is where we will receive our breakthroughs. And we have to be truthful in our confession, because confession comes from the heart. And God said to us that, you know, that we are to come to him in spirit and in truth. And when we do this, God will see us, he will hear us, and he will bless us.
Amen.
So there's other prayers that we have to utilize in order to lead us into repentance and the blessings that God has for us. Such as things as prayers of forgiveness. Forgiveness is, in fact, I can do a whole teaching just on forgiveness, because forgiveness is not normal. It goes against our normal psyche. It goes against what actually happened to us. It goes against anything that we could conceive that we should do about something that's occurred that was negative and occurred in our lives and specifically touched us or a family member. Because of this, it's very difficult to do. And because of this, we can't do it on our own. God knew this. So that's why Jesus told us and sent a helper, which is the Holy Spirit. Because we can't accomplish forgiveness alone. We have to abide in Christ, and he has to bless us with that forgiveness, the spirit of forgiveness, that will allow us to give these or those that have harmed us that freedom to continue their lives. But most importantly, forgiveness is about us. It's to give us the ability to receive the blessings of God in our lives. And remember, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So before we can break through, receive that breakthrough, we have to crucify this unforgiveness at the cross and ask God to give us the power to forgive. Let his spirit come in and give us the ability to forgive. An example of a prayer that we could say in the case of, say, a father is a, "I forgive you, Dad," or, "Lord, I forgive my dad for," and you can say exactly what that is. And then, Lord, forgive me for judging and resenting or hating my dad, and forgive me for perpetuating those attitudes in my present relationships. Very important. With forgiveness is very important in order to break free of these judgments and things that happen that we carry out on a day-to-day basis. It's important that when we pray and we pray for forgiveness, that we also take ourselves, and whether the person is living or dead, we take them in spirit. Remember, we pray in spirit and in truth. So the person doesn't even have to be there praying with you. Say, for instance, if someone that wronged you is no longer living, you are not trapped to live a life of continual bitterness, because Jesus came to set us free. And remember, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if that person is absent from the body, he's in God's care, and God and his spirit is with God. Whether God casts him down or lifts him up, he or she is still with God. So it's important to understand that because we pray in spirit and in truth, we can take the person that wronged us, even if they're not with us, because prayer is the most powerful tool that God gave us, because it can penetrate walls, it can penetrate cars, it can penetrate the solid ground, 50-foot thick concrete, it can and most of all, it can penetrate the hardened heart, which in some cases can be harder than all those things. It can be harder than titanium in some cases. But the prayer can penetrate those hearts and change the heart, because only God can change the heart of a person. That's how powerful a hardened heart can be. And so it's very important to understand that we must pray in spirit. And we can take these people to the cross with us, but also take ourselves. The reason why we have to take ourselves to the cross as well is because, remember, we have a common enemy. We have a common enemy. In this case, the enemy of your enemy is not your friend. There's a saying that says, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and people use this to justify going to war. But in fact, it's a fallacy, because the enemy of your enemy is your enemy. In this case, because the ultimate enemy is Satan, and he is against you, he's against the person that he's using. And the truth of the matter is that given the right circumstances, it could have been you that slipped and fell into sin. So this is why we have to take ourselves as well, to say, God, thank you for keeping me from falling in this way. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me, just keeping me in your will. And Lord, you allowed this to happen in my life for a reason. Please show me this reason and help me to change. So that, and again, in many cases, we're repenting because of these bitter roots and these judgments and these expectancies, which, remember, we can cause a person to harm us because, in a sense, we have these bitter root expectancies. So this is why we have to take ourselves to the cross and forgiveness. And again, I'm not going to go much deeper, but I will, in terms of forgiveness, I can do another teaching on that. But the important thing about forgiveness is that when we take ourselves and that person to the cross, at that point is where we receive freedom. We receive the freedom. And for ever as many that are within distance of my voice, if I will say this to you, if you have never taken yourself and the person that offended you to the cross, or at a minimum taken that person to the cross, it could be that you still have pressed deep down inside you some roots of unforgiveness. And you cannot truly be freed through Christ unless you take these and you repent of these things and you you use them and allow God to truly set you free. So it's very important to note these things. Are there any questions thus far?
Well, we have a few numbers that we're looking at on here, 216-574-614. Does anyone have any questions that you would like to address at this time?
Questions or comments, just press 1 on your dial, on your keypad, rather. Press number 1 on your keypad. It will be the cue that you have a question for us.
So, again, for those who have questions, you know, just press number 1, and we can see that. Okay, we're looking at some
questions
right now.
Area code 216, do you have a comment or a question for Minister Gary? Area code 216, you're on.
I think that the Lord has really blessed us, and there are a lot of these aspects that really affect our lives. We just have to recognize it and then implement it, you know. Especially as far as spreading the gospel, you know, Pastor James spoke of expectation of being a bit of root, being an expectancy, being psychological. But as ministers, we are to lead people to the cross and, have a sense of forgiveness. And that's a healing for us and a healing for others. I think that's something very important for us to remember in all aspects of life, but that exists with all of us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, I'll comment there. Yes, it's important to understand that there are two things, bitterroot judgment and bitterroot expectancies, and they have different modes of operating. Bitterroot judgments operate according to the laws of God, whereas bitterroot expectancies operate more in the psychological realm, which Freud kind of called the id, the ego, and superego. It operates in that realm. The problem with going to a psychologist is that all that a psychologist can do for a person is pick off bad fruit, if they pick any fruit at all. In many cases, they just listen and allow the person to come up with their own conclusion. This is not God's will for your life, and this is not the freedom that you seek. So it's important to take this to Christ in the ways that I'm describing. So, yes, you're 100% correct in that we are to take these to the cross through Christ, and we receive our freedom from Christ. So it's important to note these things.
But, Minister Gary, I agree with you. As far as counseling and psychology are concerned, my background is counseling also. And even as a counselor, I know that we decide. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, but we decide, like a client may come to you with an issue that they want to work through. So you focus on that particular issue. So if it's depression or whatever, you may give them, help them to learn skills with the depression, or you may diagnose it and prescribe medication for it, or a doctor will prescribe medication for it and so forth, but you're dealing with the fruit. For the patient to get deeper and to find out where the original wounding was, where the root of the, where the spiritual root of the fruit is, or psychologically where the deep wounding, the inner wounding, where the beginning came from, that client has to want to go there.
Yeah.
They have to want to go there. And when we talk about the fruit, like you were saying, I can envision the tree, and you have to pick it off, piece by piece, and dig deep and get to the root, the whole root of it, to pull the root out. If I just cut out, like in our yard, if I just cut off the top of the dandelion, the root is still there. It's coming back. So you're going to have evidence of the fruit of the dandelion still being there within a week. You know?
Yeah.
Then we have to attend to it again. But to pull it out completely it causes it not to be able to multiply, not to be able to where I don't have to be able where it's not able to be passed on to my neighbor's yard, or in the case of spiritual wounding and spiritual bitter roots, not passed on to my children and my children's children, and not accepted as if that's just the way we are.
Yes. Amen. Amen. These are very, very key points that you mentioned, because you mentioned that if you don't pull that dandelion up, it actually will grow back, and that is a perfect scenario that I'm referring to here. And in fact, when it grows back, it can grow back with a vengeance, and in a sense, when it does grow back, if it's left unattended, it will defile your neighbor's lawn. And it will cause those dandelions to grow wherever the wind blows. So it's very, very important to understand these things. And you actually make me think of another item here that I just wanted to bring up quickly, and that is in terms of the scenario of sowing and reaping. We can think of it in this way. Mankind's sinning is like a man who throws a ball against the wall. At some point, it will return to him. And God gives this in his word, is, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. The important thing to note is that the longer our sin goes unrepented, the larger it grows. If we happen to have any scientists on the line, I happen to have a background in science, but if you know anything about physics and things of that nature, you probably heard of Sir Isaac Newton, and he had some many laws that he developed of kinematics and things of that nature, laws of motion and forces, and how they operate in two dimensions. But unfortunately, there is another dimension that he leaves out. And Newton's third law states that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. However, we know as abiding in Christ that what he missed was God's word. And what does God's word say about this? He got part of God's word, but not the complete word. And again, the longer our sin goes unrepented, the larger it grows. And in this, God tells us that they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. And that's in Hosea 8:7. So what happens is, in the case of the picture message that I'm given is, there's a guy, let's call him Young Joe. He has a ball, he throws it, and forgets about it. And by the time the sin returns to him, or that ball returns to him, it has grown to overwhelming proportions. And what God says about this is in James 1:15. He said, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So the whole idea is, remember, the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. So he wants you to forget about these things. He wants you to let these things fester and grow, because later in life, this same Joe, 25 years later, he's got this ball that's so big, he doesn't know what to do with it. He can probably go to a psychologist, but it's so big, it could cause a nervous breakdown. It can cause a lot of things. But God wants us to be free. And God is unwilling that any should perish. And he sent Jesus to us to identify with us in all of our sinfulness. And it's important to know that Jesus took all of our sin upon himself, and he died with it for us. So our sin was canceled out, and the law of sowing and reaping fulfilled in him. So in this, we can say, using the word of God, that we can find in Matthew 5:17, where he says, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill.
Amen.
To fulfill. So the laws are still in motion. We operate under grace, but we can only receive that grace. Remember what God told us in his word a little bit further back. we operate in grace. And and what he said to us is regarding grace is in Hebrews 12:14-15. He says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. So that's a perfect example of what I'm saying here, that God does not want us to fall short of his grace. It's here. He renews it each night in our while we're still fast asleep. He renews it, and each day we receive a fresh abundance of grace. That's why we're able to continue on. And it's important that if we stand behind the cross for whatever sin it is. Remember, sin is no complex word. It's a three-letter word. And all it means is that we miss the mark. Whenever we miss the mark, we do not receive the full plan of God for our lives. And remember, God tells us that he knows the plans he has for us. And he plans to prosper us, not to harm us, and give us hope in the future. Those are his plans that he has for us. So we are called to take hold of the life that Jesus won for us by his death and resurrection, and to walk in a daily discipline described for us in the scripture. So we have the examples that are there. And I pray that this teaching is really touching the hearts and minds of even ministers and pastors and those that are struggling with these things. Remember that this is our cross to bear. Jesus carried the cross for us. But remember, at the end, he crucified it. He crucified this sin on the cross. And we can do this, and we are to do this daily, to crucify these daily.
Your teaching is so good and so on time. It's refreshing, and it's something that's understandable. I guess that's what I want to say, where our listeners will easily be able to apply your teaching to their lives. Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning into our station, I want to remind you that this is Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry. The guest call-in number is 347-237-4054. If you'd like to call and listen or call and participate, if you have any questions for Minister Gary, please signal us when you call by pressing 1 on your keypad. I'd also like to say this is part 2 of Minister Gary's teaching on bitter roots. If you happen to have missed part 1, you will find part 1 in our archives. This was teaching from 2 weeks ago, and part 2 is the completion of that teaching. So please continue, Minister Gary.
Minister Gary, I want to mention also that we're at a 8 o'clock hour, or maybe 8:04. I just wanted you to be cognizant of the time. I know you have so much to share, and we don't. We want to make sure that you know exactly where you are at time.
Okay. How much time do we have left?
30 minutes.
Awesome.
25 minutes.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll continue on. We were talking about the healing and how our healing is accomplished. And we mentioned that it's accomplished first by recognition, second by repentance, and then thirdly, by confession. And we are to do these three things through prayer. We talked about prayers of forgiveness, taking a person, whether they're still with you, meaning that it could be a spouse, it could be a child, taking them in spirit, or even if they passed away, you can still take them to the cross in with you, and also yourself. Always include yourself, because you were once a child, you were once, and we are all sinners. We, all have sinned and fallen short of the will of God. So we are not above the other person. We are not better than the next man, even if they sinned against us. Because
I want to go back on that point just for one thing, because I just want to make sure no one thinks that that we're talking about taking someone that's dead by proxy to be forgiven. That we can release people from, we can release people from unforgiveness. We can release them and forgive them, whether they're before you, whether they've gone on, or whatever. You can, you have the power to say, "I forgive you."
Yes, yes. Very important distinction. We never pray to the dead. We're not praying for the dead. What we are doing is, remember, forgiveness is freeing yourself. It's for freeing you from the sin, because the unforgiveness is a sin. It is your sin. Remember what I said. Each one is responsible. We are accountable for our own sin, no matter what happened to us. We are guilty but not condemned in Christ. We are guilty but not condemned. And guilt is a friend which brings us to the cross and to that inner healing and transformation. So very, very important. Thank you so much for that. That is very important to understand. Very important to understand. Okay, so we talked about prayers of forgiveness. And we pronounce forgiveness by the word of God. If you forgive the sins of any, and this is John 20:23, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. So remember, Jesus told us that we would do things that he did when he walked the earth, healing, ministering, teaching, these things. But he also said that we would do even greater things. And some of these things that we have to take hold of is forgiveness of sins. Through John 20:23, he tells us plainly, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. So we do have that power, but when we retain that unforgiveness in our hearts, because of the Lord's Prayer, it binds us. It binds us, and it holds us. And it can cause these bitter roots to establish in our lives. So we want to do this stuff daily. That's why we're not to take any anger or any things to bed and go to sleep over them and let them fester, because you can wake up the next day and feel much better and feel like you love your spouse and everything's fine. But unfortunately, what you did is you pressed these things down, deep down into a root. And the longer these things fester, remember what I said, they go from you sow the wind and you reap the whirlwind. So these things will come back later and they can harm us. And the next form of prayer that we do is prayers of death. And that is we want to kill these things, kill them, get them out of our lives, because we don't want to walk in oppression. It says, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. And that's Matthew 15:13. So we have to uproot these things, and we have to kill them at the root, not kill them by you don't kill anything by picking the fruit off. You kill them at the root. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And that's Luke 9:23. It's important to break down the structures of judgment, expectancies, habits, attitudes. Another common one, if you ever come across someone that has a lot of attitude, oftentimes there's a bitter root there, and reflexes, by taking them to the cross. So we need to take these to Christ to break down the structures. And the way that we do this is we pray. We say, Lord, bring those practices to death by the power of your cross. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And that's Romans 6:11, which tells us that. So we have the power to end the cycle, to break it, because our power is gained through Christ, conquering death and all these things, all these sins on the cross. Then we need to pray for resurrection and life. So we say, Lord, restore us, and be specific, and Lord, reverse the old patterns that and build me anew and in new ways. you know, those new expectancies. Let your expectancies come from Christ. Remember, the Father, you know, any anxieties and things that we have, remember, we are to take those to the Father, and he will free us from that anxiety, all those feelings, all those wants, all those needs. He knows the things that we need even before we come to him, but he still wants us to come. We know what our kids need, but we still want them to come to us. You know, it's that type of thing. And in Philippians 3:10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So we take these things to Christ also to get to know him, to develop a relationship. This is very important. Develop a relationship through Christ with the Father. Because when the Lord sees us, when God sees us, he sees us in terms of sonship. And sonship, you can be a male or female. It's still, because remember, we're wrapped in the blanket or the robe of Christ. We're wrapped in him. So when he sees us, he sees his son. So that is sonship that he mentions to us. The other thing that that is common, which unfortunately our society has lost, is what we call restitution. And restitution basically is to pay back more than what was taken or destroyed. You can see Exodus 22, verses 1 through 4, Leviticus 6, verses 1 through 5, or Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Any of those scriptures will talk about or speak to restitution. Sometimes it's necessary to restore trust in relationships and build new structures in a person's life. So pointing out the fact that a person has bad fruit, it really does not help. And this is the reason why, you know, unfortunately, those that do not believe in God never truly receive the true healing that God intended for us, and never can live the abundance of life and produce. By abundance of life, God wants every branch to produce fruit, every single one. And that's where the abundance comes from, financial abundance, abundance in our joy, in our peace, in our love. These are good fruits. These are, and they have, in other words, they have good roots. So not all roots are bad. It's just the ones that we allow to fester, which tend to grow and defile us. And anyone that picks that fruit and eats it is defiled as well. So that's a warning to the psychologists out there. So keep that in mind. And a perfect example of that is if a person tends to practice psychology many, many years, they can start to see things happening in their lives, you know, especially if they don't have if they don't have a life rooted in Christ. And if they don't, and the scales have not been removed from their eyes, they can't see it. So that's the problem. It's very difficult to convince someone of that because they can't see it. And very much so, until Christ will lead you in a way that you get tired of it. A lot of times you have to get tired of the fruit. And I'll give you examples of fruit: anger, addiction, fear. These things are the fruits. And beneath the soil, you'll have things such as honoring or dishonoring parents. Could be the root. Truth versus lies, and inner vows can be a whole another teaching in itself. Valuing versus judgments, nurture versus unhealed wounds, generational curses and blessings versus curses. Remember that these things can be passed down because they're patterns of behaviors and thoughts. So these things can pass down through generation. And your kids could be defiling your grandkids even as we speak. So it's important for us to take note of this teaching and start to really take these things on and resolve them through prayer. It is very much a power at your fingertips when you go and you take it up in prayer. So in terms of restitution, it's very important to understand that it exists. I think the Bible gives us various examples in those scriptures that I mentioned, and taking these things, sometimes, if someone steals from you, if you catch them, rabbinical law would require, or God's law would require restitution, and that is not paying back, I stole one slab of meat from you, or one roll of money from you, or whatever it is, not returning just that one good, but returning that plus an abundance of other things in order to capture a true repentance and true restitution for whatever was stolen. So that's why if we catch them in the act of stealing, they have to pay restitution. You can pay it financially or you can pay it spiritually, but it will be paid. And remember, God will chastise those that do these things. So you don't have to worry about taking on God's position by carrying out your judgments yourself. And that's what this whole thing is about, is, not carrying out these judgments on your own, allowing God his position in your life and to carry out what he intends to carry out, which is more perfect than anything we could ever think of. So in fellowship and ministry, we want to discover any roots, and we have to remember that prayer has to be an ongoing discipline. Remember, we take up our cross daily, so therefore we should go to the cross daily.
Amen.
And we want to see and to bring to death habitual ways of thinking, feeling, and behaving. We want to bring to life the nature of Christ within each person, especially ourselves. And when gratitude is full and not forced, healing is accomplished. And when transformation has turned the mess into glory for God, we know that we've accomplished true healing. So it's very important to know that healing is possible. We do not have to continue in a life in this way. So that concludes my teaching on bitter roots. There is a lesson on honor, which I'll just mention. I know we're probably short on time, but I'll just mention because it does go hand in hand with the bitter root judgments and things that happen early in life. And then in the lesson regarding honoring, it's important to know that that we are to honor our parents, and that there is accurate head knowledge of the faith. That accurate head knowledge of the faith produces nothing in terms of expressing the fruits of the Spirit, unless what is lodged in the heart relative to the parents is countered by effective grace in Jesus Christ on the cross. Almost every failure in life, we can soon trace it, sooner or later, we can trace it to a breaking of the commandment, honor thy father and mother. So many of the things that we see happening in societies, it starts very early in the home. It's pretty much in the home, and it spreads all the way out into society. Then it hits the state level and even the federal level, meaning all the states. And some of these things are drugs that we see. Again, it can start with a bitter judgment by a child in the home, these homicides and shootings that are going on. Again, these are judgments, bitter judgments being carried out by people who don't allow God to be on the throne in their lives, and they feel that they want to carry out the hurt. And there's a famous saying of hurt people hurt people. Again, these can be traced to these judgments and can cause a continual or perpetual series of unforgiving and just wrong behaviors to occur in society. So you can actually defile the entire society. So that's why in many cases in the Old Testament, when God gave land to the Jewish people, to Judea, if you will, that he oftentimes wanted them not to touch any of this, really take on any of the practices or belongings of the people, and those things, because of this very thing of defilement which happens. So in the lesson regarding honoring father and mother, it speaks to the law of honoring and how it affects our lives powerfully and completely. And it's important to note, and it touches on the absolute reliability of God's law and protecting us against deception. And you can read about that in Hebrews 4:12. And through the Holy Spirit and the Word, we help people recognize the excuses, rationalizations, and smoke screens that they use to justify sin. Any times that sin is being justified, it is wrong. We never should justify sin. Whether something happened to us, remember our reaction. We're accountable for our reaction, because that, you know, our reaction does not cancel out the fact that the thing happened. And as long as we realize that, we know that God's action is the best action. So we're to take things to the Father. And important that honoring father and mother is critical, because if we don't learn this skill, and it's actually a skill, because it's something that is a learned behavior, you can have a generational curse pass through from generation to generation, and or to children, because of a dishonoring a parent that was dishonored, and it could be been a grandparent that was dishonored. And what this lesson talks about is that despite a person's action, meaning a parent's action, we are to honor the position even when we can't honor the behavior.
Amen.
We honor position. We honor position, not necessarily behavior. We can clearly separate position from behavior. And many of the behaviors are because, again, the bitter judgments and expectancies. So it goes both ways. You know, we're not to instill wrath in our children, and likewise, we don't want it coming back the other way either. But the most important piece is that it's a legacy that we're creating. God gave us the ability to create life here. Yeah. And create families. So these are legacies that we're trying to protect. The enemy wants to destroy the legacies, and he wants to do it through the children. A perfect example is what happened in Connecticut. I mean, he deliberately utilized this person to go after the children. But that's what this is about. And I know a lot of people were really upset about the incident, and I was truly upset about it. But we also have to cry out for those that are perishing daily in the streets, and in abortion clinics and all over. We have to really, really repent for these sins, because remember, what we sow is what we're going to reap. And in this example, in terms of the shootings and these school shootings, if you look back from a historical standpoint, we can tie the timing of these shootings with the actions to pull prayer, and not only prayer, but the Pledge of Allegiance to the country itself, pulling those two things out of school, pretty much are causing us to reap in kind what we sowed. So by pulling those two things out, it seems to follow that these things that we're seeing are directly correlated to the lack of prayer in school, because a lot of the things in school spill over into the homes as well. So we have to be knowledgeable of these things, and we have to pay close attention and know that that God's law is at work in terms of reaping and sowing. So we should definitely consider the reaping and sowing and the fact of honor. Honoring the country is important, because if we don't honor the country and we don't teach that in the schools, We raise a generation of people who live without honor, who only honor self.
Amen.
Very.
Minister James, as we wrap up, if you could say one word to your listening audience, and let's say to the United States, to the parents of our country, what would you say to them right now?
I would say it's very important that we understand the reaping and sowing that is happening. That every word that is spoken, especially to children, is a seed that's being planted. The music that there's good music and there's bad music, and you can know each by the lyrics. The music that is being pounded out daily and that the children are listening to is impacting the next generation. The decisions and the court rulings to separate honoring the country through Pledge of Allegiance, and most importantly, honoring God for the abundance in which we have in the country is hurting us. And at some point, we're all going to get old. God willing, we will all get old. And the next generation is a generation that's going to care for us. And they're going to be the working people. So it's important that we make them productive adults. And we do this by nurturing them with the Word of God and with understanding of honor in the home, and in the schools and in the cities, and these will reap the benefit. Later, we'll reap the benefits of a pristine and good nation. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your teaching this evening. You are such a gifted teacher.
Amen.
Such a gifted teacher, and I really appreciate your obedience and allowing the Lord to use you and your response to us here at New Beginnings Ministry. I sincerely appreciate it. And if there's anyone that's listening, that if you have any further questions for Minister Gary, you could send them to us through Blog Talk Radio or Facebook us, and we will make sure that we forward them on to him. If you want a response from them, we will send that, and even your comments and well wishes to Minister Gary. Again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone. We hope you enjoyed our Christmas with Christ yesterday, and that Christ definitely the center of your day, not a Christmas tree, not Santa Claus, not the Grinch and all of that, which is fun, but it's not. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.